One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Thank you for coming back to the show. I'm Ryan, that's Dave and Bobby. I want to start off the show by offering a quick congratulations to a friend of the show and to us. Vicky Bobulak is advancing in this season of America's Got Talent.
Yeah, she's going really far.
Yeah. I don't know if any of our listeners watched that show. Vicky Bobulak is a local legend here in San Diego. She's one of those girls that's been doing it forever and... You know, she just shows up at mics and goes, can I go up? And everyone goes, fucking, of course you can.
She's like a fixture of the scene. She's been around forever. She's super nice. Everybody loves her. And she's good.
Right. And so we're, you know, everyone in town is happy. She's advancing on America's Got Talent.
By the way, that's a good lesson as to why you should not be shitty to other people that you work with or do comedy with or whatever. Because if she was one of the assholes who is around the scene who then was doing that success, everybody would be like, fuck that person. They don't deserve it. But she's super nice. Like, I've only met her once just casually walking by, and she was just nice and friendly. And so everybody goes, oh, awesome. Great for you. Good job.
Yeah,
She's actually been coming to the club a lot recently asking for spots to get her set ready.
Right, right. Exactly. She's doing these 3-minute spots because doing a 3-minute spot is a lot different than doing a 10, 15, 20.
Right.
And first of all, my aunt, when I was at the breakfast with her, she goes, I was watching this show called America's Got Talent, and there is a comedian on there that is so funny. Her name's Vicky Bobulak. And she goes, and I went, oh, yeah, I know Vicky. She's like, you know Vicky? And I said, yeah, I know Vicky. We go back a long time. She goes, next time you see her, can you take a picture with her? And I was like, yeah. Are you asking me to prove it? I think you fucking don't believe it.
Right, because if she was really a big fan, she'd want a picture of herself with Vicky. It doesn't really do much to be like, here's Ryan with Vicky.
I think she's like this little fucking liar of a comedian of a nephew is just trying to big time me at brunch.
You know what? Actually, let's play into her fears. Let's do a really bad Photoshop of you with Vicky Bobulak. We'll have your arm around Dave and we'll just swap out the faces.
Yeah.
I think it would have been funny if, like, when she said, can you get a picture with her? If you just open it, here's a couple pictures of me right now.
Yes. Now that she's advancing, it's caused a little byproduct. A couple promoter friends of mine have been telling me that a lot of guys around the scene, a lot of mid-level guys, definitely not fixtures that go back 20 years in the
mid
scene.
Mid to low, even,
mid
I would
to
say.
Mid to low, fair to
middling.
They've been calling up bookers and being like, hey, man, can I get a 3-minute spot on your show tonight? Working on my 3 minutes for America's Got Talent. Okay. but if these are younger men with that want to go on America's Got Talent, telling you right now, you better have something wrong with you.
How's your cerebral palsy doing?
You can't just go on America's Got Talent and just be talented. That's not how it fucking works.
First of all, you can't just do that. You can't just be like, oh, here's my 3 minutes, put me on the show.
Right,
but secondly,
right.
Let's not forget the cautionary tale of our friend Zoltan.
Well, I'm going to get to the Z-Man. My God, the Z-Man. So with America's Got Talent, I'm not trying to imply that Vicky is not talented or that there's something wrong with her, but she's an older woman. She's big and brassy. And this is, if we're being honest, her last shot at national exposure.
It's like a classic feel-good story.
Yes. She's been working at this 20 years, and now she finally has this shot, and everyone loves her. That's a good story.
Right.
You can't just show up on that show and be like, hey, I'm 25, I'm ostensibly good-looking, and I've got a backup job my whole life ahead of me. Oh, I'd also like to be famous. You can't just do that. So what happened with our friend Zoltan Kassis, who, let me just say, is probably my favorite comic in San Diego.
One of the best in San Diego.
One of the best, not just, you can't even say in San Diego, to come out of San Diego, because he does so much touring.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The man's, several of his clips have gone viral. He's on SiriusXM, his comedy is, and he got to quit his job and tour the country doing major clubs and colleges.
Yeah.
So just know, that's the guy I'm talking about when I tell this story, is that he also went on America's Got Talent, and they fucking made a fool of him. They edited together his set. They edited out all the laughs. They made it sound like he was bombing. They edited in cricket noises.
Wow.
They took a clip of one of the hosts, like, in between takes yawning and, like, made it like she was reacting to his set. There was a point where, like, someone said, like, I'm bored. And, like, I've talked to his old days. Like, yeah, she said that. I wasn't even on stage when she said that. They're like, that was between takes. And I know what happened. He showed up and said, hey, I'm an okay-looking guy who's young.
Yeah.
And they went,
It was probably more like his manager or something. It was like, hey, you know, maybe, you're doing really good. Let's get you on the show.
They were like, how dare you? They didn't just cut him. if he did so poorly, then they should have just cut him for the show. They're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
No. No, you don't just come on my show being all white, straight, and, you know, nothing wrong with you. We're going to need some blindness. A deformity would be nice. A stutter will work. We'll accept a stutter.
Right.
But you can't just come on. You know what we're going to do? We're going to make an example of you, motherfucker. And this was like sending a messenger to the cartel asking for a negotiation on the ransom and them sending the messenger's head back right. to you like, now you know.
And now Zoltan you know. Is not just very successful, he's also incredibly talented. If you talk to anybody in San Diego and said, name the top three San Diego comedians,
he'll be in there.
Every single person, he will be in the top three.
Right. Zoltan is one of those comics, like, I'll be hanging out with him at a club before either of us is going on. We'll be at the bar. He'll be telling me something funny that happened to him that day. Just some story, something he ran into or something he saw. Then he'll go on stage, and it's already a good joke.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
He's that good.
I did a show with him out on, like, a military base where you hop onto a small plane and fly for, like, 20 minutes and then land on the military base. That's a frightening plane ride, by the way. It is, because it's like going into
fog. All the time, but in those little puddle jumpers, you feel every bump.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just sitting there, like, digging my fingers in the armrest. I'm like, whoa, it ends here, not like this.
It doesn't help that they make you get on a scale before you get on the plane. You're like, why do you have to do this? Well, if the plane gets unbalanced, then it'll crash. They're like, all right, fine, fair enough.
But this thing hits a mosquito, it's going down.
But then that night, we land at like 3 p.m. That night at the show, he has 20 minutes on the plane ride over. Like, he on the plane ride yes. that he took a couple hours yeah. beforehand and
it's good.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyways, they made a fool out of him, and that's what really made me, we've all been saying this about America's Got Talent for a while, is that it's America's Got Sympathy. And you know, I remember this feeling, because they share clips on Facebook. I saw one where this smoking hot redhead walks out with an acoustic guitar. She's like 22. She's got cute glasses. I'm like, oh no. No. They're about to fucking make a fool of you. And they're like, who are you on? She's like, I'm deaf. I'm like, I'm sorry. No, you're yeah, going. Yeah, you're, yeah. It doesn't matter what you do right now.
Then they show Zoltan walking backstage. As his face turns, they just edit in the N-word.
And you know what? Maybe that's a good thing. I'm not, you know, I don't want to be one of these guys like, hey, they're discriminating against straight white males, you know? Reverse racism's a real thing, too.
But it's not a good thing, because if you're watching that show, you want to be entertained, and you should go for the most entertaining people. And you also shouldn't just make good people look bad. Nobody benefits from that, you know?
I don't know. I think maybe straight white males had it coming. But you know what? Yeah. You don't even have to be the trifecta of straight white and male. You just can't be two of those things. Like, hey, if you are a man of color, but you're straight and male, you're getting the treatment. That's you know, fair. You need... Now, we're going to need a black lesbian. That's what we're gonna need if you want to advance in this fucking show,
right?
So anyways, but we are happy for Vicky that they decided that her talent should shine through.
Yeah.
Also, I would like to invite everybody to my one-man show, The Asexual Native American.
I shouldn't have laughed at that.
No, I added in some crickets on that one.
Yeah, give yourself the treatment.
Yeah.
Weird thing happened to me this week. It is some video I did with my wife as a joke went viral out of nowhere. We did
yeah,
it
I saw it show up on my feed again. I was like, this is old. You had done this
a while ago.
Yeah, about a month ago. Erin was doing a photo shoot where she was like dressed like a demon and nude and covered in blood. And
typical.
Typical fucking Wednesday.
It's glamour shots.
Yeah. And while they were filming in between, I'm like, roll that camera for a second. I'm going to act like I just walked in on this, you know? It's a 1 second video, and like, you know, it's nothing to it. I posted online, and what happened with that is the same thing that happens with all of my posts. I got a few hundred likes, and then everyone forgot about it.
Right.
I'm like, all right, that was fun. All of a sudden, I wake up to like 800 Facebook notifications, and I'm like, oh shit, did some colorful photos of me surface?
Right. Did they find that audio of me from way back when?
Yeah.
Did they get that audio from America's Got Talent?
Yeah, America's Got Talent is on my ass right now. So I was like, I did. I had like a major panic attack. I'm like, what's going on? I don't know, like 5,000 people had shared it. It had been viewed at this point like 34,000 times. I'm like,
wow,
huh, that's random. Put my phone down. Another few minutes go by. It's increased to 100,000 in less than an hour.
Wow.
It's going up to 6,000 shares. I'm like, oh, and it just keeps going. Right now, it's like 500,000. And so I'm like, well, that's random and kind of cool. Whatever. I'll put my Instagram on there. Let's call it a day. I don't care. Because like I said, I don't like it when people have a viral video and then that's all they talk about for the rest of their life.
Right.
Chewbacca mom probably can't let it go. I don't know the woman, but if you go out to dinner with her, it's probably going to come up.
Plus, let's be perfectly honest. It didn't go viral because you had some great comedic genius in there. It was fine. It was a funny little video. It went viral because your wife is super hot.
Right, yeah, right. Like I know why people are looking at this. Right. I have no delusions about why. And also where it's going to take me. I'm right. Like, all right, people are going to forget about this in a week. And they will. But I forgot about this little byproduct because it's been a long time since something of mine has gone viral. It brings out this weird type of troll. And I know we've talked about trolls before, but this one, nothing's ever blown up this big for me before. So it brought these fucking trolls out of the woodwork that just anger.
Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah. So I start getting messages from random people, and I'm not exaggerating. This is kind of a hodgepodge of a few of them. It'd be like, hey, dick face. Hey, dickhead, you think you're funny? You're not. You're not fucking funny at all. I'm funny. Fuck you. And like, what's funny about these is that like, as this random person is messaging me this hate,
right.
Like it says like, do you want to keep connecting with this person? I'm like, yes, of course. Yeah, I'm not going to miss this. And like, I'm not responding to these. I'm like, oh my God, he's just still like, hey, I saw your video. Thanks for wasting my time. You're not funny. I'm like, what is happening in your life and your mind?
They're just angry that your video is getting that much success, which blows my mind.
It's like, crazy to me. Like, if it was a Trump bashing video,
right.
I'd get the hate.
If there was a point to it, yeah. But it was just a fun little video.
It was like, I walked in the room and went, whoa. And they're like, hey, no.
You got to start sending out responses that make it indicate that you think that they're flattering you. You should be like, it's always great to listen to fans.
That's exactly what I told them. Say, always good to hear from a fan, and then block them.
Yes.
Before they can be like, I'm not a fan.
And just imagine them raging for 8 hours in front of the computer.
I did it a few times, and then I got like 90 more of these. And so man. I'm like, I don't have enough time in my day. So anyway, it's just so bizarre that there's this great many people across this fine nation of ours that are just sitting around in jean shorts and then cannot let something good happen to somebody.
Right,
like,
right.
Oh, no. And even if it's like, hey, this guy's dumb video with his wife has gotten 400,000 views. She's fat.
Yeah.
Fat.
I also just like the idea that not only are they angry at you for something that's completely innocuous, they're angry at the idea that you got popular because of this. And they're also going to say, hey, you're not funny. Now, listen, there's plenty of people who do like random quick little YouTube viral videos and it goes viral and they get famous for it. And then people get angry at them. That's still not understandable. But the whole you're not funny thing, you're an established stand-up. Like you also have a background in this. So when they're saying you're not funny, I am. Really? How many times have you headlined? Where are you working right now?
Oh, yeah. Dude, the one guy, he reminded me of that kid in Kindergarten Cop where after Arnold Schwarzenegger's really bad first day, the little kid comes in and he's like, my mom's a teacher. She's better than you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our old teacher, Mrs. Schwartz, she's better than you too.
Yeah.
And I have a friend and he's better than you. Like that's like someone was like doing that to me. He's like, I have a friend. He's a comic. He's funnier than you. This isn't funny. Also, Bill Burr's funnier than you. And I'm like, oh, really?
It happened again later on because I saw this hilarious post because a San Diego comedian has moved out back to his home state of like North Dakota. And he does shows and stuff out there. And he runs open mics. And he had some instance where he had to kick a guy off a mic. So again, we're talking about a guy who got kicked off a North Dakota open mic because he just walked up and started reading his stuff off the paper and wasn't interacting and had no funny
jokes. I've never heard of someone getting kicked out of an open mic unless they were threatening to murder the audience, which happened last year.
Right, and that might be like LA or something where it's really impacted and stuff. I'm guaranteeing you.
That's not cool because he was probably working on his 3-minute America's Got Talent video.
And you know, he's got a wicked stutter, so he might get through.
Unless his disability was the inability to remember your jokes and having to read them directly off the paper, I don't know that he'll make it. But
that's awkward, isn't it? When someone goes up, you know, because I'll pop into mics once in a while and I see someone go up, stand there for a minute, awkwardly fumble the mic, and then that hand goes in that pocket and that cell phone comes. I'm like, oh.
Well, this kid wasn't even trying. He just walked up with the paper to start off, like he was reading a eulogy. So he went up to go do
Which
that.
Kind of was.
Yeah. Eulogy for comedy. He did that and he got kicked off. And the guy who was running the show was an ex San Diego comedian. He was posting online, hey, you know, just don't come up and do this anymore. And the guy started flipping out on his thread, and another comedian, a very, very established, another one of those guys who, if you asked who's the funniest guys to come out of San Diego, he would be one of them. His name is Eric Knowles.
Right.
Won the World Series of Comedy. He's done a bunch
tours
of
all over. He's very
established. He tours as a headliner. He's a very, very, very talented, has a lot of experience, very funny guy. And this kid who got kicked off an open mic, got kicked off a North Dakota open mic,
starts
talking trash to Eric Knowles about how he's never heard of him. And
that's
he's
the
not
best
that
one.
Funny.
It's like, hey, I never heard of you.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, oh, could you imagine? Could you imagine being at that level and saying that? My analogy was that would be like being an 8-year-old running a lemonade stand outside your house, and then the Odwalla truck comes by, and you're like, never heard of that lemonade brand.
Actually, no, I wouldn't compare it to that because that's actually kind of adorable. nothing about this.
It's kind of adorable in a way, too.
I guess you're right.
My question was if he was just ad-libbing everything he was typing into Facebook or if he was reading it slowly off a piece of paper he had unfolded.
At least he had context. He didn't just hit up Eric Knowles private and go, hey, hey, dickhead, hey, dickface, respond to me.
See, here's the thing, though, with that type of person is like, when they start going after more established comics, things like that, no matter what, once they reach that point, you can't smack them down.
No.
Like, anything you say to them is just going to feed their ego. Like, oh, I'm getting a rise out of these guys. Like, we just had the situation with a comic here in town.
Right.
Who kind of lost his shit because...
It was weird for me because I never heard of this guy or something.
I had never met him until that night.
So, evidently, Dave, you were there. What happened? He showed up.
It was
up.
The contest. He did poorly.
San Diego's Funniest Person.
A lot of people do poorly. It's not a big deal.
Right. It could be a hard run.
I heard his was particularly embarrassing, but still.
Yeah, he stole a joke from another local comic, which was funny. But
what joke?
Ah, I'll tell you. But yeah, so then that night, or I think it was the next day, he had a blow up where he attacked the club. He attacked some other local comics. He called me an old faggot and spelled it wrong. Misspelled faggot.
I saw that. Did he have like an E in there?
Yeah. Okay. And then people would start talking shit back to him on these posts. So he would delete it and repost it. He did that 4 times.
Oh my God.
And I don't get the mentality of such a nobody, a no talent person.
Right.
Just thinking that they have this, I don't know, this leg up on everyone else.
Well, my favorite thing is
all the time.
His bit apparently is to go into the bathrooms of comedy clubs and, take pictures of a roach. Whether he put it there or not is under dispute, but just go like, hey, look, there's roaches in this bathroom, which is a really weird thing because it's like, hey, if I go to a comedy club, you know what I'm looking for? Funny comedians. You know what I don't give a shit about? Bugs.
But it's like, Shores, you and I have been doing this for a long time, but you've toured way more. You've worked in way more situations. You have to have seen this all the time. Just like some low-level person that just suddenly gets some kind of ego for no reason.
You know, in my scene, in my city here, yes, but I mean, you don't really get to taste that when you go to the different scenes, you know, because you're not on that city's local comedy Facebook group.
Right, right. You're not really involved.
You're not really involved. It's why I liked being a temp more than a legit office job. Because I'd show up for like a week and they'd be like, yo, watch out for Becky. She's a backstabber. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I'm going to be out of here in like a week. So good luck with that. But then I like accepted a permanent position. And it's like, oh, Becky told on you. Now you're under probation. I'm like, fuck, now I'm involved in all this bullshit.
I'd love it if Ryan just tried to egg things on when he was a temp because it didn't matter to him. Like, they'd be like, don't talk to Becky. And you go, you just walk right over to Becky. Hey, Becky, they just called you a bitch. What are you going to do about it?
I would be totally Iago from fucking Othello. I would deep cut. I would go in the break room and I would eat a bunch of other people's food. And then like they'd be like, who took my yogurt? I'm like, I'd be like, I think that guy with the overbites, he was licking some boysenberry off of the side of his... just saying, I don't want to get involved. I'm just a temp.
Some men just want to watch the world burn.
Oh, I did. I would cause chaos in these offices, and I would just ride off into the sunset and tip my hat. It was fun.
Dude, I've done that a couple times at like jobs that where I've like been there, not a temp, where I like worked. Like at the end of the day, if some shit was going on the floor like between other workers, as I'm leaving, I'd go into my boss's office like, hey, so-and-so said this about so-and-so, and I'd leave. It's like tossing a grenade in your boss's office and walking away. Yeah. Like, no, deal with this.
I would hear from other comics while I was in that town. Well, I'd experience their weirdness, and I'd ask the comic who my contact in that city was, like, what the fuck is with this guy? I was in Boston, and I was doing this this club in Boston proper, and at the end of the show, the host gets up, and he starts singing this song that he wrote about his comedy show and like kept expecting people to know the words and chime in. And he was getting really frustrated when they didn't know what he was talking about. He'd be like, go to sleep. It's the end. Come on, guys. It's the end of the gas comedy show. Come on, guys. Come on. You know, I'm just sitting there like, what is the deal? I like called my friend, like, Ken, what the fuck is with this guy? Like, he's like, oh, I think he's been on a downward spiral since his grandma died. I'm like, all right, that makes sense. Thanks for talking to me.
Every once in a while, though, you'll find one of those guys who thinks they're the next Andy Kaufman. They're like, oh, this is so brilliant. Like, no, you're terrible. Like, stop doing this. But yeah, I was hesitant to even talk about this because, like, when you give a troll like that any kind of attention,
it makes
him feel like they're... He probably thinks he's, like, the big bad villain of the scene now when really nobody gives a shit about him.
He's the heel. He's the same thing.
Exactly.
Heel.
No one cares.
We are living in Conor McGregor's America.
Yeah, he's waiting for one of the comedians to turn their back so he can hit him with a metal chair.
Yeah. I wouldn't put it past him.
But the chair would just be like a whiff. You'd be like, wait, did a breeze just go?
Yeah.
It's working.
Swing and a miss.
Yeah, he's got this this mentality that he's like made it because I think he runs an open mic somewhere.
Yeah.
It's funny when I see guys that get an in with a certain club. Let's say it's a premier club. Let's say they get hired at the Improv or their really good buddy has opened a club somewhere and they can write their own ticket. It's funny to see how many bridges they start burning with this very little amount of power. Like, I can go up at this great club whenever I want. So fuck everyone. Fuck you, Comedy Store. Fuck you, Improv. I'm the king. They don't realize how many times clubs close, how many rooms change hands. Things change all the time.
Just that it's nice to be able to go do multiple rooms. Like, why limit your ability to go to other places but just because you have one
Not only
place.
That, if you're going to be that guy, you better be really fucking good.
Yeah.
Which generally, 99.9% of the time, these guys are not at all.
Right.
I only know one talented guy that talks this much shit, like, and that's it.
I just happened to watch an old episode of The Office last night from the first season, I think, where Dwight was fucking with the vacation schedule, and Jim was like, wow, that's sad. This is the least amount of power I've ever seen go to someone's head.
Yes, that is how this it works with some of these fucking raisin cakes. All right, getting off comedy there, because I know it alienates some people.
Mostly me, Bobby.
That's why we only do a brief 22 minutes at the top of the show.
The Nike thing.
Oh, man.
Bobby, recap what's going on with Nike.
They decided to take Colin Kaepernick as one of their spokespersons.
Face of their campaign.
Yeah, of their new campaign. And, you know, Kaepernick very famously lost his job in the NFL for kneeling for the anthem, and... They decided that
you
that
just
was
started
be...
so many debates among people listening right now.
That's right.
That's not why he lost his job. Yeah. Oh, no, he's
way worse than Blake Bortles. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's
just trying to extend his fame. Like,
I believe Manziel might have had a few snaps after Cap lost his job. So, yeah, that is kind of why he lost his job.
Fucking little stunt. I'm like, every time I hear someone like, this bullshit, this little stunt he's pulling with all that and football, I'm like, I kind of just feel like if this was the 60s, you'd be talking about Rosa Parks' little stunt on the bus.
Absolutely. Yeah,
yeah. Tell me.
I get it. So we're just going to hold up transportation for some bullshit when we all know she was just too lazy.
Tell me again how Trevor Siemian was a better choice than Colin Kaepernick. Anyway, long story short.
I don't understand any of that.
He lost his job, and they used him for the face of their ad campaign, and people flipped the fuck out. They literally started setting their Nike clothes on fire.
Here's my favorite part about the ad. The exact quote is, you need to believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. They're, of course, referring to the fact this guy had a multi-million-dollar deal with the NFL that he lost to draw attention using his platform to police violence against men of color. Now, this also is a double entendre for Nike, which is, we know that putting this face on our ads means we're going to lose a lot of you.
Yep.
So we are, too, making the decision to lose a lot so that we can, you know, stand behind this guy. And people missed that point completely. They're like, hey, Nike, you just lost my business. Ooh, didn't think of that, did you?
Right.
They're like, no, that's the ad.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm going to fucking burn my fucking shoes.
It's still a good calculated ad because you know who they lost? A bunch of angry old white guys. You know who they gained? A bunch of young athletic people, right?
Yeah.
It's like, who buys their clothing?
And you know who burned their Nikes? People that already paid for them. Jesus Christ, that's the stupidest protest I've ever seen.
Yeah, yes.
But here was my takeaway from the Nike thing. It's like, you start seeing all these variation memes.
Yeah.
Like different images. There's a Mike Tyson one where they spelled all the words with a lisp.
Yeah.
We're especially vulnerable to this because as comedians, every one of our friends wanted to make their version of the Nike meme.
And the first few are funny. And then it just starts to get, like, the life cycle of a meme these days is so fucking short.
It just gets more and more creatively
like less
bankrupt.
Than a day.
Yeah.
And I'm over this shit.
Yeah. You know, I the first one I saw, which I thought was funny, was the nihilist from The Big Lebowski. And then it just said, believe in nothing.
That's funny.
So I'm like, that's really funny. But then you see a bunch of like imposters, like, hey, that's a funny joke. I'm going to basically make that same joke. Here's Jeff Lebowski going, fuck it. Like,
yeah.
There was
a couple clever ones. Like, I saw someone used an image from the Heaven's Gate cult.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, I saw somebody used Chris Benoit.
Yeah, that was similar. Brutal, but funny. But someone used that. Someone changed the phrase a little bit. Believe in something, even if it means taking a knee, and they had Tonya Harding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I mean, mildly funny, but Jesus Christ, way to drive something into the ground.
Right.
Oh, my God.
It sucks when I see a new meme trend. I'm like, no, yeah. I'm going to have to put up with this for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish there was some sort of committee that could oversee it and be like, that one's not funny, don't post it. That one's not funny. Okay, that's a good one. Post that.
I want to be the not funny czar of my friends list.
Oh, yeah, right, absolutely.
Like, I hear ye, declare Straight Outta Compton no longer funny.
You know, like how Facebook has those moderators that make sure nobody's posting porn or gory images?
Yeah.
Like, you should have a comedy moderator for Facebook that's just like, sorry, this is bullshit, this is hack, trite material, already used, I've seen 1,000 variations.
Play
like, ooh, this
out.
Is funny, put this one up.
Yeah. Ooh, can't wait for your hot take on Where's the Beef?
Yeah.
Be good.
Hey guys, what's that? Remember Budweiser?
Yeah, but seriously, the idea of a boycott is, in its essence, the idea that you're not buying from a company.
Right.
The idea of ruining something that you already own from that company is
makes
nothing.
Zero like, sense at all.
You've already bought that material.
Right.
It just means you have one less article of clothing. Even if you weren't going to wear it, you could donate it. Like that's a useful product.
I'm not convinced. You were telling us how the Tide Pod thing was fake. That
right.
Never happened. Right. I'm not convinced that all this report of burning Nike gear isn't fake, constructed by liberals, being like, hey, look how stupid these people are being.
I mean, I think that's probably
Alex Jones.
I think it's probably very small. I think it's probably a small group of people who are like, yeah, I'm going to burn these in my backyard and take a video of it and put it on YouTube and it'll go viral. I don't think a lot of people are doing, like, I don't think it's the majority of humans.
Right.
You know, all right, so here's been my quote-unquote favorite part of all this, is that, as you guys know, I'm originally from Orange County, a fact that I sometimes lie about in interviews. I don't like it there. I will never go back. It's a horrible cesspool of overprivileged people.
Right.
Because of that, I have friends from all over the country just from touring, mainly San Diego, a blue-collar town, and Orange County,
right.
A very not blue-collar town. And guess what opinions they took over the whole Colin Kaepernick thing?
Yeah.
They are upset that it is interrupting their football.
Oh, yeah.
Even though
I don't know how that interrupted. I watched the first game on Thursday night. I didn't get interrupted.
Are people taking a knee during plays?
Right.
But I'm pretty sure they do it in the beginning where you're just playing on your phone anyway. But like, yeah, everyone was going, oh, bullshit. One guy's big burn was Nike stock just sold it. I'm like, you overprivileged motherfucker.
Yeah.
It's like, you guys are keep whining about your fucking your black kids getting murdered by police. My stock just had to get sold, okay? Right. I get it. I'm with it, man.
Dude, that's funny. Now, I'm being from the Midwest. Yeah. I have a similar set of friends back there without the money.
Right.
Like, just like that mentality, that hardworking mentality where I'm seeing a lot of posts from like, even like cousins and relatives and stuff like that. They'll post like the one of the meme responses was Pat Tillman with the same quote.
Yeah.
And missing the point completely.
Right.
First of all, Pat Tillman's family said, please don't involve him in this.
Yeah.
And secondly, he probably would have supported Kaepernick.
He 100% would have, yes, as a guy who left a multi-million dollar contract with the Arizona Cardinals to go be an Army Ranger and died in combat.
Now, the thing that I find most troubling is it's been stated a million times what taking a knee is about. They've been very clear about it. It is not to protest the troops, which is ridiculous.
Right.
Because that's where everyone likes to jump to.
Oh, yeah.
What about the troops?
Or the anthem. It's not to protest the anthem.
Or the flag or the country. It has nothing to fucking do with that. It is simply about protesting the problem that we obviously have with police brutality against young men of color across the country. And they're using their platform to be able to call attention to that and start a conversation about it. Cool.
And by the way, it's not like that was the only thing. In the interim, while being fired from the NFL, Kaepernick has donated literally millions of dollars to children's foundations, to people in Haiti, like to people in Africa. Like, he is an actual humanitarian who is making a literal difference in the world. And
nope,
it's not
he's a crybaby.
Yeah.
He's a crybaby.
The thing that's been most maddening about seeing these people that I grew up with in Orange County is that I know which ones of them never left except to go on vacation.
Yeah,
you know, was gifted a career by their family, mm-hmm. and has never really had to see firsthand how lower social economic groups work. And every single one of them has the attitude of, ugh, these athletes need to shut up about racism. I'm so sick of hearing about racism. There's no racism. I've never seen any racism.
Or black people.
Hey, listen. A black family lived here once, and everyone was very kind to Dr. Mansoor's family, okay?
Right, yeah.
They were very kind.
And
to
then somebody taps him on the shoulder. Oh, that guy was actually Indian. That was a black. Oh, really? I can't tell the difference.
Not me. Not white like me. So, and you know, we were nice to them most of the time.
The Singhs? They were Indian?
Yeah. No, it's this whole attitude of like, I'd never seen any racism. I've never seen a cop kill a black guy. Of course not, bitch. You live in Newport Beach.
Right.
Dude, the next time Erin gets banned from Facebook, I'm going to take the picture she got banned for and write on top of it, believe in something, even mean sacrificing 30 days of Facebook.
It's ridiculous what Facebook does with the how much they're cracking down now. I refuse to complain too much about it because these people are so entitled that do get banned. Not Erin, but like some people are like, Facebook is impeding on my rights. Like, you don't have the right to Facebook.
Right, you don't have to be here.
Yeah, you're like, if Facebook came to your house and said you're not allowed to say anything to your friends or otherwise, that's one thing. But when you're on Facebook, you're on a toy that they created and they govern because it's their world.
It's a private business.
Yeah. It's a private business. We don't have any right to be on Facebook if they don't want us to be. So no, they're not impeding on your rights.
Just because it's like hugely popular and a lot of people on it still doesn't mean that, you know, you have rights to anything there.
Yeah,
just...
no, if someone came in my house and started insulting my wife, I'd be like, get the fuck out. They can't be like, no, I have the right to, like, you can say that shit outside.
Yeah. It's a complete lack of understanding of what freedom of speech actually is. Freedom of speech means that the government cannot stop you from saying something, and even a private company can't technically come in and stop you from saying something. It does not mean that they have some kind of obligation to let you say that thing on their platform.
Yeah, and that I keep saying it. Facebook is impeding on my rights!
It would literally be like if you went up and spray-painted a sign on a billboard and they took it down, and you're like, you're really infringing on my freedom of speech!
First Amendment! By the way, Bobby, I meant to ask you. You got a project right now. Comedy Club has asked them to repair their stage, and so you basically had to demo the whole thing and build a new one from scratch.
Yeah.
How's that going? And it's a loaded question,
right?
Because I know who you have helping you on this construction project, and it's other comedians. Now, I don't know which ones are helping you,
right?
But in my experience, comedians are not the most handy bunch of folk.
They're not. They're not, but they do like to help, which I do like. I appreciate the enthusiasm.
If it means stage time, sure.
Right. I've been doing a bunch of work there, and then recently we had to make a big lumber run at the hardware store. And
you're rebuilding a stage.
Yeah. So Dave went with us, and we got a couple comedians, and we went out to go grab some lumber.
I'm picturing neckbeards. I'm picturing glasses. I'm picturing hoodies with ironic slogans on them.
No, not as much. They're actually fairly in shape young men, but it is funny that you forget that, like, because you're in different environments. When I'm in a comedian environment, you know, we talk about things and we use our own shorthand. We'll talk about
tags lengths and callbacks.
Yeah, and all that kind of stuff, which you wouldn't use in front of regular people because they wouldn't understand it, right?
Yeah, but some do.
Yeah, the same thing happens when you go to a hardware store with a whole bunch of comedians and you forget.
Oh, this sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, you forget, like, oh, yeah, these guys don't know what we're talking
about. Right when you said, I'm taking comedians to the hardware store, I got the pee shivers. Right. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
They don't belong there.
But the one thing I do love is that comedians do have enthusiasm for working free because they are very good people, the ones that came out at least, to actually go do that work. They're good people who are trying earnestly to help. And by the way, lifting probably a metric ton of wood in the process of actually moving, because you're talking hundreds of 2x4s and plywood and stuff, but it does make you wonder how things get done in the first place. There always has to be at least one comedian who have some kind of craft skills, otherwise we'd have no comedy clubs.
You're in demand.
Or you have a craftsman who thinks he's funny.
Yeah, that's true. That's good.
That's usually the way it goes.
That's my slot.
I just kept imagining Bobby being like, alright, I need 50 galvanized deck screws and him coming back with like a potted plant. Was I close?
It's twisty.
I mean, okay. I don't know what galvanized deck screws are, but this one gives off oranges.
Well, I loved it. And Dave was there, so he could attest to this. As we were leaving, I was like, all right, just toss the ratchet straps on these guys so they don't fall out. And then they looked at me with a ratchet strap and two different pieces, like holding it in two different hands, going, I have no idea.
No. Before that, I'll back it up a step. Before that, the ratchet strap was laying on the ground as we had already gotten all the wood in the truck. And Bob was like, yeah, the ratchet strap. And one was like, is that this thing here?
Like, you mean the strap with the ratchet on it? Yeah. But it's great if anybody who doesn't get this joke knows that a ratchet strap, the function of a ratchet strap is literally binary. You take one part of the ratchet strap and move it back and forth. There's literally not a more simple machine on the planet other than a lever.
Hey, Gus, I need you to strap the ratchet set to the roof. He just breaks your window with a hammer. How'd I do?
But I got to say, you know what? Some people would talk trash about comedians for doing that, not knowing what they're saying. I actually think it's admirable. You have a bunch of people going, you know what? I don't know what the fuck's going on, but I'm here to help. I think that's an admirable trait.
And I'm trying to do my tight 3 minutes for the cashier because I got an AGT audition coming up. Right.
But that is juxtaposed to the people, you know, like I said, those comedians who don't necessarily know what they're doing but are willing to help.
Always helpful.
Yeah, super, super good intentions, great heart. And they're super useful, by the way, because we just needed people to move stuff. So good on them. That is juxtaposed to the people who have no ability but try and hinder what you're trying to do. I don't know if you guys have ever had this. I recently had a very interesting thing happen to me this week where I had a whole group of people try desperately to very, very badly screw me over and end up shooting themselves in the foot. So I want you guys to think if you've ever had something like this happen to you. So I've been telling you guys before about how my wife and I bought some land. We want to build our house, finally move out of the ghetto. And the neighborhood that...
I'm excited. I can't stand coming here.
Yeah, exactly. The neighborhood that we moved...
I'm from Orange County, Bob. Yeah. I'm used to a certain...
there is shitty street parking here.
Yeah, there's gonna be good parking out there. That's all.
Certain standard of living.
I've told you guys before that they didn't want anybody moving on this open parcel of land because they have just used it as a community parcel of land for a long time, which
I
understand.
What do they do with it?
Well, they
hunt?
I don't know. Yeah, they
snakes.
They run around and play with their dogs or something or go hiking. But I get that.
Go in the middle of that land and take a knee while they're doing
it. I get the idea of being like, oh, that sucks. We've been using that for a while. But what I don't get is the entitlement of we've been using that for a while. You're not allowed to move in there. Like, yeah. It's a very different... And I'm not subdividing it. I'm not a developer coming in and putting in, like, a little... I'm building a fucking house, man. Come on. And so they have tried desperately to stop me from moving into this place.
Under what pretense?
We don't want you here.
They think that's a law?
Right. Well, first they were trying to dispute my right to use a private road to get there. My lawyers sent them a thing saying, no, he has the right to do that. So they're still fighting that. Then in the meantime, what they said is, hey, we found out that fire regulations have changed since we put our houses in like the 1970s or 80s or whatever. Since then, fire regulations have changed, and the private road that we use to access our properties, including your property, is too narrow from the fire department standards to build a new house. So they've been calling up the fire department every week. I found this out this week. They've been calling them up every week for the past month going, hey, you need to look at our road. It's totally incompatible. There's no way he can... We have a shitty road. You cannot build...
You can just imagine the guys at the fire department are just getting so tired. It's like, oh. Yeah. All right, you answer it this time. I'm not talking to these assholes again.
It's like I have some friends that were EMTs, and they have like sometimes they have like an old lady that would call when their goldfish looked a little sick. Like, you know, really? Oh my God, is that Mrs. Kaplan?
Dude,
God damn it!
They are because I'm going back and forth with fire department, being like, okay, well, I want to make sure this is up to your standards. What can I do as I'm getting my plans done? And the woman, when I went up, she was like, oh, you're the guy. I've gotten 15 calls about you. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I don't know what to tell you. So
she was Dave prank calling.
Yeah. She explained to me what happened. She's like, yeah, we have that road down as a certain width and documented and stuff. And they literally went by and took pictures of their own road to their own house going, look how shitty and inadequate this road is. It isn't nearly wide enough for fire trucks. So, you know, you can't let somebody build a house because it's not to modern standards.
Right.
Now, unbeknownst to them, I have a whole other thing going on. So like, that's a hiccup in my game, but here's the thing. You can't expand that road. It's like on the side slope of a hill. You could not make it the legal width.
Yeah.
So I have another thing going on. I don't want to mention it in case anybody listens to it. I don't want them trying to screw that over too, but
helicopters.
I got something else going on, but they are so desperately trying to screw me that they are not only harassing them, they got the fire department to relook at maps and like reclassify that road as now being much, much smaller and much less able to take a fire. Well, the problem with that is, while that was a hiccup in my game, I've already found my way around that. I'm done with that. Now, they only have that one road going to their house, and the fire department has reclassified it. They're like, yeah, well, you can't do new building permits here, which means none of them can expand their house ever again. They can't make, like, you can't add an extra room. You couldn't put in an extra garage.
Oh, good.
And one of the guys whose house burned down in 2003 now cannot rebuild his house ever again. So they...
Holy shit.
They screwed themselves over in the most brutal fashion.
Because they wanted to keep you off
yes.
dirt. park.
Yes.
That they don't even have the right to.
Yes. It was so funny because when I was talking to the fire person, she's like, yeah, if we can call her 15 times, I was like, I'm so sorry.
This is like the guy that calls the cops and says my cocaine was stolen.
Right. And she goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I don't think they're going to be calling anymore because the last time the one guy who calls me every single Monday, he calls every Monday to ask if I've reassessed the map. I told him, yes, I did reassess the map and explained to him about the permitting issue. And he basically got quiet and then hung up. I feel really bad for the guy who actually helped me out a little bit. The guy whose house burned down a long time ago. He was helping me out, like calm some of the crazier neighbors. And he is the guy who they really did friendly fire on, because that guy will never be able to build his house again. Like now this lot he had, he planned on, his daughter planned on building a house at some point. They unfortunately lost it to a fire like 15 years ago. Now he's screwed over because all these assholes couldn't stop literally calling the cops on themselves going, I'm making meth here. Somebody come pick me up.
Oh, man.
You've got to, like we were talking about Shores earlier, how he should respond. I was nice to hear from a fan and then block them.
Uh-huh.
Your equivalent of that, you should send them a gift basket.
Yes.
Hey, man, thanks for having the fire department update everything. This is great.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of should send some of them in a gift basket because they've been pulling this shit for like 30 years, literally scaring.
But Bobby puts one of those paint grenades in the bank.
Covered in glitter.
King of pranks.
They've been doing this for like 30 years. Anybody who tries to live there, anybody who buys that property and tries to build their house, they've been like trying to wrangle them out, screw them out, get them out the entire time. Which, because of that, I got the property dirt cheap. So, right. Like, I should actually send them a gift bag and be like, hey, thanks for being unconscionable assholes. That you guys have helped me out.
Here's
a lot.
The king of pranks move: burn their house down.
Can't rebuild.
So, speaking of people that have told on themselves, there's a comic around town. He probably wouldn't even mind if I said his name, but I just won't. He likes to brag how much coke he does at shows.
Oh my God.
He just—it's like a big joke to him. He's like, he's got a joke where in his act where he's like, "I do so many key bumps, my fucking car has a problem." So like, he just loves talking about how much he does coke. I told him, I once pulled him aside at a bar. I'm like, "Dude, you gotta stop telling comics how much coke you do." And he's like, "Why, man?" I'm like, "Because you're telling them that you always have cocaine." And I promise that's going to cause a problem with you the more people realize that you always have coke on you. So I'm like, dude, more and more people are going to start following you to the bathroom, yep, wanting some free shit. That's the way it goes. I use cocaine and comics as an analogy for how fast things disappear. I'm like, oh man, Aaron's sangria disappeared faster than a bag of cocaine in a comedy club.
Right.
And now you're telling comics you have it. So last night, he shows up to my show just to hang out. And apparently, he didn't have any on him. But all of a sudden, like, I see him walk to the bathroom to take a piss for a change.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, I just see, like, three guys, like, walking behind him, just kind of like trying to nonchalant. They're looking around, being super obvious. And all of a sudden, in the bathroom, you just hear him go, I'm dry! I don't have any! And then he just come running out. It was cool.
Maybe he was just standing at the urinal. He couldn't piss. Yeah. I'm dry!
All right, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby saying see you next week. Cruising with the twos. She's fat! Fat! Yeah, time passing by. Motherfucking time is passing by.